am Sidhi Thomas, working for an airline. Can I explain the concept to you? Sidhi Thomas. Yeah. Can you explain the concept of original sin?
This is the question, can you explain the concept of original sin? Just as Islam is concerned, there is no concept of original sin. In Islam, we believe every child is born sinless. And the Quran clearly states that no bearer of burden can bear the burdens of others. No bearer of burden can bear the burdens of others, Quran says in several places. Regarding the concept of original sin, taught by the church, I can tell you that. Taught by the church. And what the Bible says also, I'll tell you. I am a student of comparative religion which compares both the teachings. And what the church teaches, that if, may Allah be pleased with her, that she tempted Adam for eating the apple. And you find the story in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, that she tempted Adam to eat the forbidden fruit. And because of that, humankind is born in sin. In Quran, the story of Adam and Eve, peace be upon them, is mentioned, but there's not a single verse in the Quran which puts the blame only on Eve. In fact, if you read for Araf chapter 7, verse number 19-27, it says that Adam and Eve, peace be upon them, they are addressed a dozen of times. It says both of them disobeyed Almighty God. Both of them repented. And both of them were forgiven. Both, the blame is put equally on both. There's not a single verse in the Quran which singles out Eve, peace be upon her. But there's one verse in the Quran which speaks only about Adam alayhi salam. In Surah Taha chapter 20, verse number 121, it says that Adam, peace be upon him, disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you read the complete Quran, the blame is put equally on both Adam and Eve. But in the Bible, the blame is only put on Eve, may Allah be pleased with her, saying that she tempted Adam to eat the forbidden fruit. If you go to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 16, it says that Almighty God says that you woman, you shall multiply in conception and bear labor pains. Means pregnancy is a punishment in the Bible because Eve disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, if you compare, sister, Quran says in Surah Nisa chapter 4, verse number 1, respect the womb that bore you. In Surah Luqman chapter 31, verse number 14, and Surah Hakaf chapter 46, verse number 15, it says that there is enjoined on the human beings to be kind to the parents. In travail upon travail did your mother bore you, and in pain did she give you birth. Pregnancy oppressed the woman, does not degrade her like the Bible. Coming to original sin. So what they say, that since Eve tempted Adam to eat the forbidden fruit, therefore humankind is born in sin. Every child is born in sin. I am asking the question, did Eve ask me before eating the apple? If I told her, okay, eat, then I'm very well responsible. Did Adam ask me, peace be upon them both, that can I eat the forbidden fruit? When they didn't ask me, how can I be held responsible? It's illogical. How can I be held responsible? If they ask me, if I've given them permission, then you can hold me responsible. So surely, you cannot hold me responsible. But the Christian church teaches that because she disobeyed God and Adam and Eve disobeyed God, mainly due to Eve, whole humankind is born in sin. And because of that, what they say, that God Almighty, He gave His begotten Son as a sacrifice. And they quote Gospel of John, chapter number 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not die but have everlasting life. Again, this is a commentary I can give if you want to know of this verse. This begotten is not then the original manuscript according to Thayru scholars of the highest eminent Christian scholars. They say the word begotten is not then the original manuscript. So if you analyze what the church teaches, that every human being is born in sin, and of course, the soul that sinneth shall die. And it's the quotation of the Bible, I do agree with it. It is Ezekiel chapter 18, verse number 20. The soul that sinneth shall die. They end the verse, the verse doesn't end. If you read the Bible, sister, the soul that sinneth shall die is mentioned there in the Bible in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. But it continues and says, the soul that sinneth shall die. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. The father shall not bear the iniquity of the son, neither the son shall bear the iniquity of the father. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth shall die. The father shall not bear the iniquity of the son, neither the son shall bear the iniquity of the father. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked turns and returns to the true path, he shall not die. That is what the complete verse says. So even according to the Bible, sister, sin is not inherited. What the church teaches, sin is inherited, is again the teaching of the Bible. So if you want to know what Christianity teaches, you have to go according to the Bible. Just because a Muslim says something that women are bad and should ill-treat the women, that doesn't mean Islam ill-treat the women. To know how Islam treats the women, refer to the Quran and the Sahih Hadith. So therefore, sister, even if you read the Bible, there is no concept of original sin. Because the Bible clearly states, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither the father shall bear the iniquity of the son. Iniquity means sin. If the son cannot bear the sins of the father, how can we be born in sin, sister? In Islam, every child is born as a masoom, as sinless. Irrespective of whether he is born in a Christian family, a Hindu family, or a Muslim family, he is born as a Muslim. Our beloved Prophet said, every child is born in deen respect, in the innate religion. He is born pure. Hope that answers the question.
I am Sadananda, again a principal of the theological college here. I very much appreciate your knowledge in both the scriptures, and I would request our Christians as well as the Muslim brothers and sisters to go deeper, still deeper into the subject, not just quoting from the scriptures. It may sound very, you see, wonderful, but at the same time study a text, go deeper into that, and have some dialogue, not arguing my point, you see, and not only that, perhaps it may help us. Regarding, of course, the divinity of Jesus, there are other, you see, quotations also from the Bible. Sometimes we, you see, when it supports our point, we may say that it's a later interpretation. For example, what do you think about the prologue in John's Gospel? For example, the Word became flesh. Word became a human being, where we have the concept of, you see, incarnation of Jesus. The Word was God, the Logos, concept of Logos. I am just, to ask you to enlighten these things.
The brother asked, I am giving another quotation. And rightly agrees, only quoting is not important, going to death is important. Only quoting and my father and one is not important, seeing the context is important, so to come to know whether Jesus actually claimed divinity. And the brother has given one more quotation, that one more place, there are various places. Brother gave three quotations, I gave the context and it was clear. Brother gave one more very good quotation from the Bible. He is quoting Gospel of John, the reference is verse number 1. Chapter number 1, verse number 1. Gospel of John. The Word was God. That's right. So you said both things. In the beginning was the Word. Word was God. So you get two quotations. Word became flesh and Word was God. Both you get. So I'm going from verse number 1, then coming to verse number 12. But first come verse number 1, then come verse number 12. And I do agree that Gospel of John, chapter number 1, verse number 1, I'm quoting. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. It's a very good quotation. If you read from the Bible, if you don't understand, you should go in-depth, as the brothers, I do agree with you. The in-depth, the original manuscript is, brothers, Greek, New Testament. Though Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, spoke Hebrew. But the original manuscript is in Greek, not written by Jesus, peace be upon himself. It's in Greek. If you go to the Greek, you'll understand, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The first time the God appeared, if you say that the Word was God, just as a layman, that Word was God, that means, Word is God. So now wherever Word comes, you exchange it with God. In the beginning was Word becomes, in the beginning was God. Correct? The Word was with God becomes, the God was with God. It doesn't make sense. God was with God. In the beginning was Word becomes, in the beginning was God. God was with God, and God was God. It doesn't make sense. So if I agree that Word here means actually God, and if we exchange the Word and put, instead of the place of Word, put the word God there, it will read, in the beginning was God. God was with God, and God was God. Does it make sense? No. So how you go, if it's difficult to understand, go in depth, as the brother said. If you read in the original Greek, the word used first time, in the beginning was Word, and the Word was with God. Word was with God. The first God used is Hotios. Hotios, meaning the God, with capital G. Hotios. The second time, and the Word was God, is Tantios, if you ask any Greek scholar, Tantios means a god with a small g. Small g meaning a godly person. First is Hotios, second is Tantios. So if you read, in the beginning was the Word was with God Almighty, capital G. and the word was God, small g. But if you read in the Bible, both the places are capital G. Who's done the mistake? Not Almighty God, the translator. First word in Greek is Hotios. Second word is Tantios. So why the capital G on both the places? Who are you trying to deceive? I'm sorry to use this word, but this is, if you go to the original manuscript, that the first word is Hotios, second word is Tantios. So it says in the beginning was the word was with God, Almighty God. And the word was God, means a messenger. We agree. Quran says that Jesus was a word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every messenger was a word from God. We have got no objection at all. So if you analyze, I've got no objection. Jesus was a God with a small g. And further, if you read in the Old Testament, it says, if you read that Moses was sent as a God to the Pharaoh. God, do you mean that he was claiming divinity? He was sent as a God, not as a messenger. But the original manuscript out there, what they translate is correctly as a God. So if you read the context, you'll understand that verse, if I agree, it's correct. It says that Jesus, peace be upon him, was a God, which is also mentioned in the Quran. That Jesus, peace be upon him, was a God. And word became flesh? Yes, the messenger came out here as flesh, which the messenger is flesh and blood. And Jesus, peace be upon him, says very clearly. If you go in the Gospel of Luke, and he goes to the upper room, and he goes to the upper room, chapter 24, verse number 36, where he says, Shalom Aleikum. Peace be on you, in Hebrew, Shalom Aleikum. There he said, and the people were shocked, that they thought that Jesus Christ was crucified, and they believed not for joy. He said that, handle me and see. Handle my hand and feet and see, for the spirit has no flesh and bones like I have. That means he has flesh, I agree. Handle my hand and feet and check, a spirit has no flesh and bones, indicating that he was not a spirit. He was flesh. He was not crucified, he was alive. And he said, do you have anything to eat? And they gave him honeycomb and he ate. To prove what? That he was not God. He was not crucified. He is yet alive. So I agree with you, brother. If you read the context and if there is a confusion, difference of opinion, go to the original text. And the original text will come to know what is the truth. I hope that answers the question, brother.
So, at the same context, the form of faith, whom you quote, you see, and in my Lord and my God. You see, I mean, we can go on discussing about these things. I have studied both Hebrew and Greek in depth. I'm asking from that context also. I mean, I'm just giving you.
Brother has given another quotation. See, brother, you can give 100 quotations. Yeah. What my point is, the first quotation you give, do you agree to right or wrong? See, brother gives 3 quotations, I give answers to all 3. You give 2 quotations, I give the reply. Are you satisfied? You know Greek, brother. Do you agree that the first time the word God is used is Hotios? Do you agree? If you know Greek. What is the meaning of Hotios in Greek? See, people don't know Greek. Hotios means? I'm right now, okay. So at least let the people know that Brother Zakir is not pulling a fast one. Agree, then go to next quotation. See, there are thousands of verses in the Bible. We can discuss each and every. But before going to the new one, at least agree what Brother Zakir said in the first verse. Do you agree or not? If you don't agree, I don't agree with Brother Zakir. Hotios does not mean God. He's telling wrong. I know Greek. Tell me and I change my statement. Just by going to a new quotation, I will give the explanation for that also, brother. But first, before going to a new quotation, as you said, let there be a dialogue. We have not come here to fight. If I'm wrong, I change. We have not come here to discuss. Quran says, Sahala will akalmitin sawa'in. Bainana bainakum. Let's come to common terms, I have been asking you. If I'm wrong, I will change. If you're wrong, you should change. We should come on a common platform. As the Qari recited in the beginning of the talk, in Surah Maida chapter 5 verse number 82, that the strongest in enemy to the Muslims, to the believers, are those who are pagans, idol worshippers and Jews. But the nearest are those people who say they are Christians. We love you, brothers. But if there is a difference of opinion, you come and you discuss the problem. Brother made another statement, another quotation. The first two I give the clarification, and I do agree with Hamid said, my God. My God, it is time to agree. If you, my God, my Lord, if you read the statement, like for example, if the person comes and tells me, like, there's a Zakir. He says, you're late, you have to end the program. Oh my God! It's 12 o'clock, does it mean I'm calling him God? If you read the context, it's important. Read the context. Because again, Jesus Christ is saying, don't call me good. He said, don't call me good. Where the question of calling me God comes? So if someone calls him, my God, he didn't agree. He didn't say, okay, yes, I'm God. If I tell him, my God, it is late, that doesn't mean I'm calling him God. He understands that I'm praising, oh my God, it's so late. So when I say, my God, it's not referring Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, you are my God. He didn't say that. And when I make the statement, Jesus himself did not make any unequivocal statement. This is a statement of promise. Yet it doesn't fulfill the criteria challenge which I put forward. My challenge was, there's not a single unequivocal statement in the complete Bible where Jesus speaks upon himself says that he's God or he shall worship me. The brother three statements he gave all were of Jesus. I am the father of one of Jesus. He that has seen me has seen my father. No man cometh to my father but that me. It is from Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, peace be upon him. But your statement is of Thomas. Yet I give you the context, which is not of Jesus, peace be upon him. It is just an exclamation. Hope that answers the question.
Thank you.
I'm Sonia, student of St. Aloysius. You said Jesus had come only for Israel and Muhammad for entire mankind. We Christians and Muslims also believe in second coming of Jesus. In that case, how can you claim that Muhammad is the last prophet?
Now, sister asked the question that I said that Jesus, peace be upon him, was only meant for that time, Prophet Muhammad's whole of humanity. Then how come he will come again? If he comes again, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not the last prophet. I do agree with him. That Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, is going to come in the second coming. There are no less than 70 hadith, sister. 70 places in the hadith, it mentions Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, is coming. And even it's mentioned in the Bible, that in the second coming, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, will be there coming. But the Quran also says, in Surah Azab, chapter 33, verse 40, مَا قَانَ مَحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَهْدٍ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَاكِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. That Muhammad is not the father of any of his sons, but is the messenger of Allah, and is the seal of the Prophet. Now both are correct. How can both be correct? Because Jesus, peace be upon him, he'll be coming again. Why is he going to come again? He's the only prophet which has been raised up alive. There's no other prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which has been raised up alive. Quran says in Surah Nisa chapter 4, verse number 158, that Jesus Christ, peace be upon, raised up alive. Verse 157 says, وَمَا قَتَلُوا وَمَا صَلَبُوا وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. Neither did they kill him, neither did they crucify him. It was only made to appear so. And all those who differ, they are full of doubt. إِلَّا تِبَعْزَنْ. Only conjecture to follow. وَمَا قَتَلُوا يَكِينَا. For assuredly they killed him not. Verse number 158 says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up unto himself. We agree he was raised up alive. Even the Bible speaks about Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he raised. Even the hadith says, even the Bible says. So he's going to come again. But what we believe, the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up alive, because he was the only prophet of Almighty God whose followers think that he claimed divinity. There's no other prophet, Adam, Noah, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Ishaq, Solomon, may peace be upon them all. None of the followers ever claimed that he claimed divinity, the messenger. The only messenger whose followers yet still today claim that he claimed divinity was Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. As the Quran says in Surah Maida, chapter number 5, verse number 116, he'll say that, O my Lord, O my God, you be witness, I never told them to worship me. But I said, Abdullah, worship Allah, Rabbi wa Rabbukum, who's my Lord and your Lord. So Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, will be coming to testify to the followers, to his so-called followers, who allege that he claimed divinity, that he never claimed divinity. And when he comes, he will not come as a prophet. Prophetship has ended. He will come not to give any new teaching. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, will not give us any new teaching. Because Quran says in Surah Maida chapter 5, verse number 3, that on this day have I completed my favor unto you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on this day have I completed my favor unto you, and have chosen for you Islam. After this revelation, no other new teaching. No other new teaching. No other person will receive any revelation. So Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, in his second coming, will come as a follower of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. As Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Even before he was a Muslim, and even after he will be a Muslim. He will not come to give us a new message. And the same message, read the Gospel. Gospel says that people will come in the second coming. Oh Master, did we not do wonders and miracles in your name? In the second coming. You know, there's miracle, miracle, people do miracle. They say, Master, Master, did we not do wonders and miracles in your name? So Jesus, peace be upon him, will say, I don't even know you, you men of iniquity, depart from here. I'm not saying that. Gospel is saying that Jesus in the second coming will say, that ye men of iniquity, I don't even know you. Ye sinful people, I don't even know you. Depart from here. Who will tell? The Muslims? Who will tell the Hindus? He will tell the Christians who say that we did wonders and miracles in your name. The Bible says that. That Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, in the second coming, that you depart from here, ye men of iniquity, I don't even know you. So in the second coming, sister, he will come to testify to the followers that I never claimed divinity, but I said, Abdullah, worship Allah, Rabbi wa Rabbukum, Zola, Mu'ala. Wa akhir da'wana, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.